ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Is that, yes, things, you know, look out of control from a human perspective, but as we look at the Bible and compare what God has said to what is going on, we see things are going on just as God planned. Things are not out of control. He's warned us of these things so we're not afraid of them and so that we can be witnesses to others of what's coming down the pike. People say, what in the world is going on? You can say, I can tell you, because God has already told us, and this is what we see happening. Now, our third study tonight is going to be Apple of My Eye, Israel, Don't Touch. And the world is going to say, we will not. God's people, the Jews, are very special and very important to him. I don't know if you've been seeing this, but there is a growing movement of anti-Semitism throughout the world. And I think we're moving very quickly towards this massive war against Israel and the Jewish people that is spoken of in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 37, we see God bringing the Jewish people back to life and bringing them back into the land again and making them one nation, not a divided kingdom anymore. And it's after they're back in the land, which happened in 1948, that after that, this war is going to break out in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Remember what we're told in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I think that's important for us to understand. You know, again, God's people, the Jewish people, are very important to him. They're the apple of his eye. Don't touch that. In fact, in Zechariah 2:8, we see that spoken of. For thus says the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you touches the apple of my eye, the most sensitive part of the eye. Israel is the apple of God's eye. Don't mess around with his people. Not at all. And as we watch the news and see how the nations spoken of in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39 are coming together, especially now Turkey, I think this war against Israel is getting closer and closer. Keep in mind, it wasn't that long ago that Turkey was an ally of Israel. Now they are bitter enemies with Israel. They sided with Islam, extreme Islam has grown in Turkey. And now, just like the Bible says, Turkey is an enemy. And we see Russia, Iran, Turkey working together. They have troops on the ground in the Middle East, specifically Syria, and their eyes are set on Israel. That's what the Bible tells us is going to happen. Look at this. Turkish troops in Syria, Iranian troops in Syria, Russian troops in Syria. Just like the Bible says, never before has this happened. And yet, in our day, we see it coming to pass. I want to read from Ezekiel 38, verses 1 through 9. This is part of the battle of Gog and Magog, and this is what we're told. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against them, and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all its troops, the house of Togarma from the far north and all its troops. Many people are with you. Prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. After many days you will be visited. In the latter years you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. You will ascend, coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops and many people with you. Now, first of all, we see the name Gog mentioned. It's not really a name, it's more of a title. Gog means ruler, man on top, dictator of the land of Magog. Some feel it's speaking of the present-day Russian leader Putin, but time will tell on that one. But this leader is over Magog, and historically speaking, they were the ancient Scythian people who lived in the area that is known today as Russia. We also see that they're going to come from the far north, or the uttermost parts of the north. And it's used some, how many times? Three times in this chapter. So they're going to come down against Israel. You start looking at this, Russia, Turkey, Iran, and they're all in Syria now. Waiting. And understand, Russia is spread out from east to west some 6,000 miles. It spans some 11 time zones. So it's hard to miss who Ezekiel is speaking of. In fact, Rabbi Chaim Velshiner said the following, and he said this in the mid-19th century. He said, when you see the Russian army begin to move southward and enter Turkey, put on your Sabbath garments and get ready to welcome the Messiah. They knew, or he knew, that this army that's coming against Israel from Ezekiel 38 and 39 is Russia and Turkey. And it's going to be Iran also, as we'll see. In verse 2, where it says, the prince of Rosh is probably better translated, the chief prince of Meshach. And I'll explain it like this. Rosh is translated as chief, head, or top in dozens of places in all translations, and it denotes the most important or highest position. Like I said, chief or top person. The most plain and honest translation seems to be chief prince, since the subject matter of the passage concerns Gog, a chief commander of a coalition of invading nations. And so it should read the chief prince of Meshach. Who's Meshach? Well, Meshach is the sixth son of Japheth and is associated with modern Turkey, probably eastern Turkey. Then there is Tubal, and Tubal was the fifth son of Japheth, and many feel that this is speaking again of modern-day Turkey. Then we see Persia mentioned. Interesting enough, we see that back in 1932. You know what Persia changed its name to? Iran. And Iran is the principal leader in the rise of Islamic fundamentalism. And this army, the main makeup of this army is not that they're Arabs. That's not the uniting force that's drawing them together. The glue that's holding this army together is that they're Muslim. They're of the Islamic faith. And they are very anti-Israel. They want Israel wiped off the face of the map. Please understand that Israel only owns, what is it? I think it's 1% of the land in the Middle East. You realize, and you can see Israel right there. Okay, this is the little land. Islam owns 99% of that land. Why do they want this 1%? Because the Jews own it. And again, they want to wipe them off the face of the earth. Iran is working on developing nuclear weapons. Several years ago, Israel virus into the computer system in Iran that was developing these nuclear weapons and screwed them up, messed them up, put them behind. That's when President Obama told the world that Israel had done this. He was not a friend of Israel, not at all. That's why Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, loves our president, Donald Trump, because he is a supporter of Israel. He loves the Jewish people. But listen to this. This is from Russian Deputy Prime Minister and former envoy to NATO. This is what he said about any threat to Iran. Iran is our close neighbor just south of the Caucasus. Should anything happen to Iran, should Iran get drawn into any political or military hardships, this will be a direct threat to our national security. could you see Israel attacking Iran, destroying its nuclear facilities? What would happen? Could that be the hook that goes into the jaws of Russia that brings them into this conflict? Possibly, I tend to lean more on Damascus, that Israel is going to wipe Damascus out in Syria. The Bible talks about Damascus being totally destroyed. It's the longest surviving city in the world, but it'll be destroyed. And I think that's one of the hooks. There are others that we'll talk about in a few minutes. There's Ethiopia or Kush, translated both ways in the Bible. It's the same area. Black Africa probably covers two-thirds of the African continent, the other third being the upper portion of the continent. The principal faith is Islamic fundamentalism, Muslim. Libya or Put, upper part of Africa from the midpoint westward. Gomer and the people of Gomer are probably speaking of north-central Turkey, although some believe it's speaking of Germany. I don't think so. I think it, again, speaks of Turkey. Togarma and these people settled in the area, again, of modern-day Turkey and Turkestan. They are going to come down, these nations, to destroy this little nation of Israel. Look at all these people that are joining forces. Saudi Arabia, no, they won't be in that. Syria, they're going to be wiped out. So it's interesting when you look at that. Egypt, again, not part of it. It's kind of interesting. I think Syria is not going to be in there because, you know, I think Israel is going to, like I said, destroy Damascus, as we're told in Isaiah 17:1, and it hasn't happened yet. They have not been completely destroyed. Jordan, Egypt, Gaza are absent. Saudi Arabia. Interestingly, Saudi Arabia has become friends with Israel. Who would have thought that, right? Isn't that interesting? But they're not part of the battle. So if you read your Bibles, if you look at what Ezekiel says, you'd say, well, yeah, Saudi Arabia is not part of that list of nations. You see, we have to take it literally, what the Bible says. But Turkey, Iran, Russia have become partners in this war. And the best defense for Israel right now is Benjamin Netanyahu, who is going to fight for his country. But he's having a very hard time developing a coalition to be, again, prime minister. Even though he wins elections, he can't form a coalition for a government. Iran's developing nuclear weapons. It's making it a very dangerous place. They got a prototype centrifuge that enriches uranium almost 50 times faster. They have a stockpile beyond the 30-kilogram limit. Enrich uranium levels beyond the cap of 3.67%. Things are getting dangerous in the Middle East. And people, they tend to downplay that, but they shouldn't. Not at all. This is not if this war is going to happen. It's when it's going to happen. Not because I said so, but really because God said so. He's told us that these nations are going to come down upon them. And I truly believe it happens before the tribulation begins. And I think it opens the door for the Antichrist to come to power. You know, catastrophes, wars, global warming, turmoil, anything and everything is going to be used to usher in the Antichrist to be the man that comes to power. And here's the thing. God warned his people, or warned the people of this world, I should say, don't touch the apple of my eye. And you look at what's happening. You even see Protestant churches, Christian churches, that are going against Israel, saying they are occupying the land that's not theirs. Well, you need to do a Bible study. Have you not read? God gave them that land. It's actually God's land. He can give it to whoever he wants. He gave it to them. And I'll tell you what, in the Knesset, the Jewish government, there's Arabs within the government. Let me ask you this. How many Jews are allowed to go into some of those neighboring states? Zero. In fact, if they're caught in them, they will be killed. If so-called Palestinian was injured, or even children that have bad medical conditions, Israel will take them in and care for them. It will never happen in any of the Gaza Strip, in the West Bank. They will kill you. They will not let you live. God says, Israel is the apple of my eye. Don't touch it. And the world's saying, we will not. We are going to touch it. And God said that. Jerusalem was going to be a troublesome stone, right? Yeah. And we see it growing. And during the tribulation period, it continues to grow. Now, the big one for us, and again, I don't think many people are aware of this. You know, when I taught on Bible prophecy, you know, some 30-plus years ago, people laughed at me when I talked about global government. Are you kidding me? There's no way there's going to be a... I said, there is. The world is going to unite together in a one-world government. You know, people aren't mocking that anymore. They're embracing it. And I think the world is moving farther and farther away from God, and in the end, they're going to embrace the Antichrist. Now, let me ask you a question. What two world leaders who are fighting for the sovereignty of their nations are being attacked for their nationalism? Trump and Netanyahu. Who are the ones that are being interrogated and accused of doing wrong and trying to be removed from office? President Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu. Isn't that interesting? Why? Because they're not socialists. They're for the sovereignty of their nations. It's so clear. Why pick on these two guys? That's the reason. I don't think people realize how much Donald Trump has done to put up a roadblock for the United States becoming a socialist nation and part of the New World Order or a one-world government. I don't think we understand that. This article is from September 24th of this year, after President Trump spoke to the United Nations. And believe me, when he spoke at the United Nations, the world was not happy. In fact, the world was outraged. This article called, and this is from the BuzzFeed, Trump's latest speech to the UN was filled with dog whistles and unbridled nationalism. Wow, an evil man, right? What did he say that got the people so upset? This is what the story says. Trump's fiery assault on multilateralism and diversity in favor of nationalism in front of the UN General Assembly was still shocking to hear from a U.S. president even after his years in office. In the past, U.S. presidents speaking from the green marble dais in the United Nations General Assembly Hall have focused on calling for the gathered leaders and diplomats to focus on what brings us together and how only together can the world move forward. And then there's President Donald Trump, who in his third appearance at the annual opening of the UN General Assembly was more forceful than ever in declaring the importance of not just nationalism, but a devotion to country and history in a speech that repeated tropes used by the white nationalists and anti-Semitic portions of his base. What? If you're for nationalism, you're a white supremacist? Then he goes on to say, like my beloved country, each nation represented in this hall has a cherished history, culture, and heritage that is worth defending and celebrating, and which gives us our singular potential and strength. Trump said the free world must embrace its national foundations. It must not attempt to erase them or replace them. The future does not belong to globalists, he continued. The future belongs to patriots. And in an extended section about the dangers that unchecked immigration represents, he provided a message for those open border activists who cloak themselves in the rhetoric of social justice. These policies are not just. Your policies are cruel and evil. When you undermine border security, you are undermining human rights and dignity, he said. Many of the countries here today are coping with the challenges of uncontrolled migration. Each of you has the absolute right to protect your borders, and so, of course, does our country. While the words may have been wrapped up in the patina of an international address, the rhetoric at its core has gained a certain familiarity in recent years. Members of the so-called alt-right and white supremacists in the dark corners of the internet have targeted Jewish public figures as globalists with increasing volume since the run-up to the 2016 elections. I disagree. Show me the evidence for that one. Okay, please. The phrase on its face refers to those who would see international bodies like the United Nations able to impose rules on otherwise independent countries or otherwise support a less nationalistic trade system economically. But in linking it with Jews, it takes on a connection to longstanding and hateful stereotypes that Jews are a people without a home who seek to infiltrate and conquer free countries as part of a global plot. Use of the term cosmopolitan in the 1930s and 1940s shared a similar history of paranoia and animosity towards Jews. Now, I'm really sorry, but in Europe, Christians are not persecuting Jews. Unbelievers are. In fact, in many countries in Europe, Jews are said, don't wear anything that will identify you as a Jew for your own safety, for your own protection. Anti-Semitism is growing, but not at the hands of Christians, Bible-believing Christians. He writes, he continues to write, the true good of a nation can only be persuaded by those who love it, by citizens who are rooted in its history, who nourished by its culture, Trump said, committed to its values, attached to its people, and known that its future is theirs to build or theirs to lose. Yeah, perfect. That phrase, rooted in its history, would seem a high bar to reach for immigrants recently arrived from Mexico or Honduras in the eyes of many of the president's listeners. Even as their culture permeates what we think as mainstream in the U.S. today. White House aide Stephen Miller is both the architect of the administration's harsh immigration policies and one of the primary writers of many Trump's international addresses over the years. It was his hand that wrote a speech for delivery at NATO that refused to uphold that organization's commitment for its members to defend each other. Nowhere in that speech did Trump say, we're not going to help you. We're not going to defend you if you get attacked. In fact, that's what our nation has done often over the years, right? He didn't say that. But he said, you guys have a special history, each of you countries. Don't lose that. Don't get rid of it. That's important. That's your history. It was his hand that wrote a speech for delivery at NATO to uphold the commitment members to defend each other. It was reportedly his voice that came out of Trump's mouth at the UN last year. And despite the fact that Miller himself is Jewish, a fact often mentioned along with Jared Kushner and Ivanka's Judaism, to defend the president from calls of anti-Semitism, it tracks that this year's speech would double down on the themes we heard in 2018, taking on a more intense and sinister edge in the face of what's happening in their intervening months. In its totality, the speech Trump gave to the UN was one that pushes the Westphalian system, where states live in perpetual anarchy, doing as they will within their borders, agreeing that sovereignty within those borders is second only to God's will, to its limits. Gone are the times of responsibility to protect innocence in the face of mass atrocities and the idea of fundamental human rights that go beyond borders. In its place, we have a slavish devotion to the walls, invisible and physical, that anchor the concepts of statehood and nationality in Trump and his administration's eyes. Wow. There is so much wrong with that article. Not with what Trump said. This is how you are seen. White, racist, Nazi, hateful, because you are a patriot? Something's going on here, right? They're trying to get us to hate our country. What do you think was the whole idea behind the kneeling for the national anthem? Degrading our country, degrading our police officers, our military men and women, putting them down. Because being a nationalist, being patriotic is wrong. I'm so thankful we have a country that we have today. I'm not embarrassed by it. That is such fake news. But how many people believe that? That if you're for this country, you're a white supremacist, neo-Nazi, hateful person. Think about the men and women who have fought for the freedoms that we have in this country, and now they're being mocked. How wrong is that? Why do they hate it so much? Why do these leaders hate it so much? Because it goes against the globalist agenda. They want a one-world government. They don't want you to be a patriot. They don't want you to have a sovereign nation. They want you to be part of the world government. And that's why we see so many people who are angry at Donald Trump's speech at the United Nations. And you know what? It tells me he nailed it. That he was right on. Why? Because it irritated the globalists so much. They hated it. He nailed it. In fact, the United Nations wants a world government in less than 10 years. This one article said, in the 1960s, an informed but naive undergraduate, I was walking across the campus of the University of Pennsylvania with the chairman of the chemistry department, Professor Charles C. Price. This is in the 1960s, okay? He told me that he was president of the United World Federalists and asked if I knew what the organization was. When I said that I didn't, he replied that they believed in a one-world government that would grow out of the United Nations. That was back in the 1960s. Back in the 1960s, I think it was 67, the Club of Rome issued its decree that divided the world up into 10 kingdoms. Read the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, the 10 toes. 10 world kingdoms, the last kingdom on the earth before Jesus Christ comes back.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.